This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
By the way, I'm an episode behind Derek Jeter.
I've got to catch up. Yet.
I watched the first episode, I thought was excellent. I need to watch the second one. I believe 3 and 4 are this week. I would like to keep up with it. I'm not necessarily a big Jeter fan, but I thought the first episode was really well done. So I'm going to check it out. All right, in Wall of Sound, almost entirely this will be comprised of Matt Rhule clips from his press conference today, which was at 12:30. Training camp begins on Wednesday. And then at the end of this, just an absolutely hilarious mistake made by Cardinals, one of the St. Louis Cardinals TV analysts. A hilarious mistake. But we'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. First,
the Wall of Sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
Jump the gun there.
Yeah, that's fine. I needed to shut up. It's okay. All right, let's get right to it, Matt Rhule. Tell me in your quarterback room, who's sitting in the front of the class and who's sitting in the back of the class?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, football players are the ultimate competitors. And I think the great ones love competition. And so, in fact, the best of the best create competition sometimes when it isn't there. So, to me, my job is not to pick the starting quarterback. The players will do that with the way that they play. My job is to make sure that we have really good players in the room, which we now, you know, which we do in that room, and make sure that they have opportunities. And so, it'll be a fun ride. And when we know, we know.
I love Matt Rhule. I love Matt Rhule. I mean, yeah. All right. Well, you do a Matt Rhule impression, do you not?
I do.
All right. Because I think there's somebody that also does a really good one that I'll point out in a second. But first, let's hear yours.
Oh, you want to hear my Matt Rhule?
Yeah.
What do you want me to talk about?
Anything.
Okay. You throw me on the spot here. Well, I think with any quarterback or any competition, everyone here is a professional. Let's be real. Everyone here is out here to compete and play hard and, you know, earn their starting spot and earn their time. But at the end of the day, we're going to check the tape and we're going to make sure that the best guy is out there, the best, and gives us the best opportunity to win football games. But we'll make sure at the end of the day of every practice, we'll definitely check the tape and make sure we critique guys and make sure guys are where they need to be.
That's very good.
Thank you.
That's very good. I don't know that it's as good as Porky Pig, but it's very good. Tell me, now that I've said that to you,
yep.
Now you get it.
Yeah.
That's all, folks. All right, here's Matt.
I definitely incorporate a little bit of that into
you have to.
Role. Yeah,
you have to. Rhule on Darnold reacting to the Baker Mayfield trade.
Yeah, I mean, Sam's an amazing person. He's an awesome person, first of all. He's also a competitor. Like, you know, he's determined to play his best football this year. So I've seen nothing but positive things from Sam since the end of last season, to the way he showed up in the spring, to what he did in the spring until now. And so, you know, when we let him know, you know, I'm not going to share a lot of my conversations with guys, but when we let him know that we were making this move, he handled it like the ultimate team guy and the ultimate professional. And so, I think he's taken very much a, hey, I'm going to control what I can control, and that's the way that I play. And so I look forward to seeing him play great football this camp.
This camp. Not this season. This camp. All right. In spite of the fact that they don't have a bona fide top half of the league starting quarterback, Matt Rhule's expectations have not changed.
Last year's, to me, is over. You know, it's kind of like a – it's kind of like golf, you know. You play a bad round, and you know you sit there and you say, you know, you feel terrible about your game, and then all of a sudden you show up the next day and you play golf again, you know. And it's like, hey, I can have a great round. And so, I thought we did a lot of things well early in the year, and then you know just down the stretch we didn't get it done. And so that's our job. It's a results-oriented business, and I certainly don't want to be a part of an organization that tolerates, you know, mediocrity and a lack of success. And so that's got to start with me. So. Do you like that? No, but at the end of the day, I can promise you, like, my life is about winning and losing. And so I don't like losing. So that affected me as much as anything else. This year, I expect to win. You know, I want to win. I've never had gone into a season and said, I hope I can only win this many games to keep my job. I'm not doing that, man. I want to win at the highest level, just like Christian does, just like Shaq does, just like everybody in this organization does. And that's why, you know, I woke up today ready to go, excited to go, excited to be here, and I like where we're at.
I also woke up today ready to go and excited to be here. Why did the Baker Mayfield trade take such a long time? Why couldn't this trade have been executed during the draft? So maybe, I know, work with me on this. You make the trade during or before the draft, and then you don't trade up to get Matt Carroll. Right? Matt Corral.
Corral.
You don't do that. I'm just curious. So why did the trade take so long, Matt?
Yeah, Scott and I had that conversation before the draft and in the draft. You know, we were you know, talking about that, and just the deal didn't happen. And so it was sort of an ongoing conversation until it finally did, occur. There were times where it looked like it wasn't, wasn't going to occur. In spring and OTAs, we really became really excited about what Sam was doing. And when we got Matt, obviously we were excited about Matt. So, there was a time that wasn't sure if it was going to happen. But when the time came, at the end of the day, we felt like it was the right thing for the team, and we did it.
It would have been much better had they done it either before or during the draft, because not only when you trade up from the fourth round to get into the third round, it costs you an asset down the road, so it costs them a future day two pick. And that's unfortunate that you did that just to get into the third round when, I mean, it's a fair chance that Corral would have been there in the fourth round. But that's neither here nor there. Now, from Baker Mayfield's perspective, the depth of the quarterback room is what? This is not Baker. This is Matt Rhule on Baker and the quarterback room.
Well, I always look at my job is to put as many good players and good coaches in the rooms and then give them the opportunity to battle it out. And I really like our quarterback room. I don't know many teams that, you know, we have Sam Darnold, who's been our starter, who had an excellent spring. And talking to him this summer, Sam's had an excellent summer. So we have Sam. We add in Baker Mayfield, who's took Cleveland to the playoffs, won a playoff game, set the rookie touchdown record. To add him, that's another starting caliber quarterback. Matt Corral is a young guy that we drafted that we really like and have a lot of hope for, and I expect him to come compete. You know, I showed up to the stadium last night, and Matt was in there working out back in Charlotte, getting ready. And so that's another guy. And then obviously P.J. Walker is a guy that, we've asked him to start for us twice, and twice P.J. has gone out and won. So not many teams have, four quality players like that. And it's going to be a lot of great competition. And to be quite honest with you, Nick, I think it'll be really good for our team, the competition.
So if I translate that correctly, not many teams are better at quarterback than the Panthers.
Ah, depth, man.
That's what...
Look at all that depth.
That's essentially what he said. All right. Done with Matt Rhule. And now a hilarious comment. An unintentional hilarious comment, but one that was picked up on by the, the host of this particular part of the St. Louis Cardinals broadcast, analyst Al Roboski, who was a fun guy to watch play. You have no idea who the Mad Hungarian was, right?
Nope.
The Mad Hungarian would stand behind the mound and psych himself up and then slam the ball into his glove and then turn around and, like, charge up on top of the mound. He was nuts. A lot of relievers were nuts. Anyway, Roboski confused two guys named Ron.
I feel like he dresses up with another member of the Anchorman movie every single time.
Well, that's what I was thinking. You know, right. Wasn't it the, who was it that wore the cowboy hat with Ron Jeremy?
Well, I think that Michaelis has interesting outfits throughout the season, right? He's always showing up wearing something fun.
Ron Burgundy.
That's right. All right, we got plenty more coming up.
I mean, what do you say?
Alexa, I think it's Alexa Dratt is the...
What do you say?
Was her, the yep. host there. She just lost it.
She did.
I don't blame her.
She did. There are people who have no idea why that's funny. I'm not even going to fill it in. There are people who don't know why that's funny.
She caught it right away.
But the people who do know why that's funny
yep.
are screaming right now. So that is how nuanced the joke is.
Yep.
If you have no idea that there was a joke there, that's okay.
Uh-huh.
Just understand that there are people who do know that there was a joke there, and they are dying.
I heard Gus Johnson, I think, in 2014 accidentally did it.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I would like to know the context of that.
Someone in the stands had a Ron Burgundy, like, face of a football game.
Oh, okay.
And then he accidentally said the other Ron.
Oh, okay. So it's not like somebody went hard to the hoop. In
no.
basketball.
No, they did not.
Okay. All right. But that's shouts to Al Hrabowski. And who was the host there?
Alexa Dratt.
Shouts to real shouts to Alexa Dratt.
Yep. For she got it.
Almost keeping it together.
Yeah.
Almost keeping it together. Again, you may not have laughed, and that's fine. The people who did will remember that forever.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
But
you can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
Starting tomorrow at 2:30, we're going to do a breakdown of every other NFL team in some way, shape, or form. What did we decide we were going to start with tomorrow?
I think we're going to start with the Browns.
Because they're the
Panthers'
first game.
First opponent.
First opponent. And then later in the week, we'll also do the Giants will be the first road opponent.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do Cleveland, and then, I don't know, we'll figure out a way to determine who's next. And then we'll do the New Jersey Giants.
Yes.
Right? Because they play and they work and play in New Jersey. So tomorrow, breakdown of the Cleveland Browns at 2:30. And we'll do that every show. Between now and the start of the season, and when we get to the start of the season, it will be, when we get to the end of this list, it will be the start of the season. It coincides with the initial Thursday night championship game. At the beginning of this program, the very first thing we discussed was the, it's not really breaking news because there's really no news. We all know that Kevin Durant has asked for a trade or demanded a trade. And we know that there are teams that are interested. Initially, we thought Kevin Durant was a formality, was going to end up in Phoenix. That's where he wanted to go. They would be interested. And the player that would likely have gone back to Brooklyn, DeAndre Ayton, the center, well, he was given an offer sheet by the Indiana Pacers. And once Phoenix matched that offer sheet, then he could no longer be moved. So the deal that we all thought was going to happen ends up not even being able to happen. So Durant isn't going to Phoenix because Phoenix isn't giving up any other pieces. There would have been more involved in that deal, My understanding was it was going to be Ayton and potentially Cam Johnson back, former Tar Heel Cam Johnson, back to Brooklyn for Kevin Durant. So who are the prospective teams now that are interested in Durant? The rumor is Miami, Toronto. So suddenly, out of nowhere, the Boston Celtics are involved. And Adrian Wojnarowski broke this, again, not saying it's breaking news because it's not news yet. It's still rumor. But Wojnarowski talked about this, I think it was yesterday, and even went as so far as to say what the package would be, and that Boston turned it down. It was Jaylen Brown plus another element, and there would be draft picks involved. And that's what Boston's offer was, and the Nets said, nah. As we bring in Brendan Whitted, my friend, NBA analyst, expert, league pass layer, all of that, at HU Cosell on Twitter.
I like the expert, Tom.
That's, you're such an expert. So, look, I mean, you know more about the NBA than, like, any four people I know. So, if I'm Brooklyn, tell me that this is wrong. If I'm Brooklyn, I say no to the first offer of Jaylen Brown plus parts, because if I'm giving up Durant, then I want Tatum back. Because I see those as, there are, Tatum's not Durant, but I see those as the same type of player.
Absolutely.
So, am I wrong? If I'm Brooklyn, that's the guy that needs to be part of the package.
That's the guy they want. They're not going to get him, though. I think that everybody's very well aware that you're not getting Tatum. That when Durant came on as, hey, he might be available, that, oh, he's untouchable label got reduced by a lot of people. A lot of people, he's untouchable. He's a part of a linchpin of our squad. Nah, once Durant's on the table, it's a whole, very few folks that you're not willing to trade for. I think Tatum is one of those guys, in part because he's so young. Obviously, he's just 19. Nah, that's an NBA joke. But he's so much younger. Durant, you're going to get him for the duration of his peak. The rest of his peak, for the next 3 years, you're getting it. But I don't think the Celtics are willing to mortgage their entire future. But honestly, if I'm Boston, everybody outside of Tatum can go. You know what I mean? Like, ultimately, it comes down to this. Do you think that Tatum and Brown are going to be great players together? Mm-hmm. If so, then don't pull the trigger and you got two great players. Fantastic. Right now, you don't have any great players if you're Boston. You have some very good players, the guys on those, like, the penultimate step of being a superstar. But you don't have those. And the last time you saw a team win a championship without a superstar was that Chauncey Billups Pistons team. That was a long time ago.
It was.
And those are few and far between. You have to have a great player. Celtics don't have one right now.
All right, so let me play devil's advocate, because you just said that Brown and Tatum together are not yet individually great players or superstar-level players. I think they're great players, but not necessarily superstar-level players. And the proof of that is that there was way too much up and down in both of their games throughout the playoffs. A healthy Kevin Durant with options around him, you're going to get 30, 35 every stinking night. So if you get 3 years of Durant, like, I love Tatum too, and there's a 10-year age gap between Durant and Tatum. I love Tatum too, but if I'm Boston, if it gets me Durant,
yeah,
I kind of think about it, but I'm not giving you anything else. You get Tatum, you get Tatum, we get Durant, and we all move on.
And that's what colors a lot of this stuff when it comes to Durant, specifically with the Nets. They gave away so many of their draft picks to get Harden, right? Yes. And so now, not only do they want to be competitive right now, they also need to refill their future assets. That combined with what Rudy Gobert got, which is okay. That was the most ridiculous trade. It still doesn't make any sense to me. Like, the haul that Utah was able to get, shout out to Danny Ainge, he's done it again. The haul that they were able to get for Rudy Gobert. So that's the market now. Rudy Gobert, who is not the player that Kevin Durant is.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6th, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
So that market, no, right. It's not, and it's not close. It's not a conversation. It's done. So if he got that, I'm getting more than even just Tatum. I'm giving you a top five superstar right now. You can get a championship with him right now. I need a lot. And that's what the Nets did. The problem is, one of the problems, in addition to the Nets being in this, they leveraged themselves so much for Harden. The other problem is that you don't know what's going on with Kyrie. Like, there's so many.
Oh, gosh. They'd move Kyrie in a second, wouldn't they?
They would. But, I mean, again, he's on a one-year deal.
Right.
You don't know what you're getting for. Like, they have – I don't know. And then the other part is you could just run it back. If you're telling me right now that if Kevin Durant came in and said, my bad, let's dead all of this. I can't wait to start training camp.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me that Brooklyn wouldn't run that back? Because they certainly would. That's what? The other thing. I don't think that they really, really want to move on from Durant. You have Durant, Kyrie, and Ben Simmons in the building right now.
Right.
No, I mean, that's as good as it gets this side of Milwaukee.
And I'm with you in the look. You know me. I'm not a Ben Simmons guy.
You're not.
But what Simmons would provide them is an elite defender, somebody who didn't need to shoot because he doesn't want to shoot. So it would leave more shots for Kyrie and Durant. Those shots would not be being taken by James Harden. And some of their other players would also be able to blossom. So you got Joe Harris coming back off injury, right? Not to mention some of the other guys that we saw. Whether it's Cam Thomas?
I was about to say Cam Thomas made first team summer league
right
this year.
Like, I love him.
He looks like the next guy up. You know what I mean? Like, so, you can, if you literally just look at that team as constructed, don't touch anything, don't trade nobody. Right now, I can make a case for them being the most talented team in the East. Right now, it's hard to break that up for the possibility of something. The other problem is Durant didn't do this until after the draft. And that really, really, I feel like if he did this, I think July 1st was when it at least became public. I don't know, obviously, the inner workings of the organization. But that's when it becomes public. That's a week and a half after the draft. Man, you hamstrung them so much on top of giving them a short list of teams that you wanted to deal with. Like, the market, you kind of murdered the market in doing it this late and only having this many teams. Your market is going to be thinner than it normally would if they were willing to, you know, if Durant had been like, you know what, I just need to get out of Brooklyn, anywhere is fine. I think you'd have a much different marketplace than the one they find now.
I mean, if Kyrie is back, and I don't know that Kyrie is back, he just took the money, because he's very unreliable as a person. I mean, we all understand this. And last I checked, Canada has still not changed any rules. Right. By the way, the St. Louis Cardinals just went up to play the Blue Jays for two games, I think today and tomorrow, without their two best players, Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt, who, I don't know, can't find a CVS or a Walgreens anywhere near where they live. So they're not going to play in Canada. All right, let me move on from Durant. I agree. I actually think there's a better chance that Durant, Kyrie are back in Brooklyn this year than they're not. So Donovan Mitchell is the lone remaining player of any redeeming quality for the Utah Jazz. They gotta move him. The Knicks are interested, but here's what I don't get about from a Knicks perspective. And I've always mentioned this. I used to be a Knicks fan. I don't really care. They're more of a sideshow at this point. But I don't understand why the Knicks are pursuing a Mitchell, who would be an upgrade over anybody they've got, But they have so many shooting guards. They just signed another shooting guard in Jalen Brunson. He's not a point guard, really. He's more of
He's going to be initiating a lot of their stuff. As much as you can believe in positions now, anyway, you don't give that kind of guy that sort of money to come off the bench for sure.
But he's a shooter, their point guard. Right? But he's a shooter, right?
He is.
So he's a shooter. RJ Barrett's a shooter. Not necessarily a maker, but he's a shooter. I like RJ. I'm just making a joke. Evan Fournier is a shooter, right? So if you bring in Donovan Mitchell, one of those three has to go. It's not going to be Brunson because you just signed him.
Right.
And if I'm Utah, well, you're going to give me Barrett out of those three anyway.
You still have Randall. I mean, Randall is still a major. It's funny. I know a good number of Knicks fans, and it kind of feels like everybody got off the Randall train at the same time, even after a couple years ago gave one of the better seasons that a Knicks player has given anybody. And it's just, I was like, wow, everybody just kind of fell out of favor with Randall all at one time because I'm still a Randall fan. Now, I wholeheartedly agree with you on this. They have a whole bunch of play finishers, not many play initiators. They don't really have a point guard like that you can just, hey, I'm going to distribute, make sure everybody's in the right place, get them the ball in their most advantageous places to score. That the Knicks don't have, and I don't understand. I didn't understand the hard press for Brunson. I wonder sometimes if being in New York, especially now with Brooklyn as a crosstown rival for all intents and purposes,
they share the same zip code.
Yeah, I mean, they're around. It's a rival. They'd be around and stuff. But I wonder if that sometimes the pressure of being in New York is too much for the front office to say, hey, we can just be good and like develop players as opposed to let's go out and go get this free agent. Let's go, we're gonna get Kimball Walker's number off the books. We're gonna get Alec Burks' number off the books. Alec Burks had a pretty solid year for him. He was healthy for the first time in his career.
But again, another shooter though.
Yeah, but well, we're gonna get off these contracts so that we have all of this money to make a big free agent splash. And the big free agent splash is Jalen Brunson.
I mean, they just brought in a good player, right?
Yeah, I like Jalen Brunson. I don't know if he's the guy, right? Like, I mean, you bring in a guy like that for free agency, it feels like he should be the guy, and I still don't know if he's better than Randall or RJ. And so Donovan Mitchell would then give them that splash, but the numbers kind of get tossed around in terms of the draft picks that will be involved, the swaps, the future picks. Hey, man, like between Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, y'all, Utah had both of them and they ain't go nowhere. So I don't understand this rush to just give away every single asset to get those guys. I like Donovan Mitchell. I like Rudy Gobert. Both of them have holes in their games. And I just don't understand giving away the whole farm to get guys that are like good players. They're a good player. Are they going to make you a great, if they were to make the Mitchell trade now, they're going to lose some current assets and future ones. And I still don't think that they're a top four team in the East.
And that's my point. I was having this conversation. Actually, you were part of the conversation on Twitter today, and our friend Kanata Edwards was part of this as well. I actually responded to him because I think the Knicks, as they are currently constructed, I think the Knicks will compete for the play-in tournament. They'll compete for 10. And if you compete, I mean, they finished 11th last year. Right. Yeah. If you compete for 11,
I'd like to say they'll be better. I thought they underperformed last year.
I did too.
I thought they overperformed the year before. I thought they underperformed last year. I think they'll probably end up somewhere 6 or 7. You know what I mean? I think
that would be amazing. But
I think they'll comfortably make the playoffs.
I think they'll compete for the play-in tournament. You know, I'll just say 10. And if you're competing for 10, then you're competing for 8. But getting in the top 6 is a different animal. And I don't think they're good enough to get in the top 6. And I sure as hell don't think they're good enough with Mitchell to get all the way over bar either. So my point is, why?
Because New York. Honestly, that's really the only answer. Because Spike Lee. You need that, though.
Mitchell a New York guy?
Is he?
I think.
I actually don't know where
I think Mitchell's a New York kid.
Poorly assumed he was from Louisville, but like that's a terrible way to do this because just because he went to college there, that's
right.
a terrible way to do this.
But at Louisville, that's not a terrible thing. He
would be a big time star though. Like he would be, I think he would be a bigger star than like Randall and RJ, certainly than Jalen Brunson. I mean, you know, because you are, this is a business. You want to sell some tickets. You want to, you know, get some hype around your squad. You're in New York. And, you know, maybe it's a little hard to put Jalen Brunson's face on, you know, season tickets. You know what I mean? Like, you do need
yes.
that. And that's not a shot at Jalen Brunson. It's just like most people, he was a backup. You know what I mean? This is a dude that was a backup on a good Dallas Mavericks team, but mm-hmm. still a backup. You know, you're still a reserve player for all intents and purposes. And so, like, I think that New York feels that pressure to be, hey, we got to be New York. Like, because what do we see every offseason? Whenever New York gets a little bit of cap room, oh, they're going to make a play for LeBron. They're going to make a play for Giannis. Oh, KD's coming. It's always something. Like, it's always sold, never told. You know what I mean? Like, they're always over here overselling how much of a destination spot that New York is, which is, I think that's one of the more interesting things that we never kind of talk about. Utah has to build through the draft.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to build through free agency. Because ain't nobody trying to live in Salt Lake.
Nobody.
That's just, I mean,
it's beautiful, though. Know, have you gone?
No.
It's, you know, it's legitimately beautiful. I recommend it.
And I believe that. However, at no point in my life have I ever been like, you know where I should live? Salt Lake City.
I haven't. You and I feel the same way.
The thought has never crossed my mind, right? And so for certain places, you have to be able to build through the draft. Charlotte is finding this out. Two, right? I thought Michael Jordan being the owner of the franchise would mean more in terms of, hey, I get a chance to play for Michael Jordan, the shoes I grew up with, the guy I grew up idolizing. I thought that would literally be a pull point. I was dead wrong. I could not have been more wrong about that. And so you have the same reason that Charlotte outbid everyone, 4 years, $30 million a year for Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward is worth $120 million? Yeah, because you got to pay that tax of, I got to bring somebody to a destination that they otherwise would not be. That's a huge part of free agency that I don't ever feel like gets talked about enough.
I totally agree. By the way, he is from Westchester, just outside of New York City. So there you go.
I'm going to ask New York, do they consider that New York?
That would work.
Okay.
For their purposes, it would absolutely work. Plus, the Knicks training facility is in Westchester.
Okay.
And I think their G League team is also in Westchester. Yeah, not that Donovan Mitchell would be a candidate to play on the G League team. At HU Cosell, Brennan Whitted, my friend, League Pass Lair, NBA expert guru, my friend, we'll talk to you later.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
You got it.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.